looking at trying to work out what we're called to, and I've been doing this with my hands, I don't know if you've noticed, but and that is that we are, that a vision is something different from where we are. This is where we are, and a vision is something that is beyond where we are, and it's in, there's a gap between us. And some people have said that I've been a bit challenging. Yeah, you know who you are, and I'm not in a bad way, but that's really what a vision is, isn't it? A vision is challenging because it's not where we are. If it was just like where we are, we wouldn't have to do anything, just sit back and relax. But a vision is always calls us out of where we are into something new and fresh, which can be challenging if it's something beyond our comfort zone. And so I'm helping give you these things, not because I have anything against anyone. I like people, generally. There's a couple of you, I'm not so keen. No, I like people, and the sense is that God wants to call us into more of himself, of ourselves. And that's the challenge. So we just want to explore that together. And so the first word was connect. We want to connect. We want to be a church that connects with each other, with God and Jesus, and also with the outside world. But we want to be a church that's really good. So thank you for your great notice about filling in that piece of paper so that it can help. But that's all that is a tool to help us to be a connecting church. And the welcome team, we've been doing, you know, re-visioning the welcome team. It's just beautiful the way, really, that's about helping people to connect with us. So thank you for that. The second word is participate, that we want to be an all-in church. That we want to be a fully baptized church. That we're not going to dip our toes into the waters of the church, but that we're all in, that we give ourselves wholeheartedly to this thing. And I don't know where you feel, whether that relates to you, whether you feel like you're kind of like half in, or maybe you're kind of like up to your knees. And I just want to say, come on, let's dive in together. So participating in the kingdom, in the church, and in the community. And the last word for today is that we might grow. Growth is a natural thing. It's not something that you have to work at. You're all growing. Hair is growing, some of us anyway, that happens, and that's, you know, things are happening in our bodies that are reproducing, cells are multiplying, you're in the moment, without you really thinking about it, you're growing. Growing is one of the signs of life. Every thing that is living is growing, and it's very important that we notice this, because every organisation is perfectly suited to the results that they're currently getting. And this is good for us as adults. You know, every family is perfectly suited to the results they're currently getting. Every school, or every business, every organisation is perfectly suited. So don't change anything if you don't want any different results, if you're currently happy with the results. But I think there is within us a sense that maybe there is a bit more to be had, and maybe we could grow in some way. So in that question that hangs over us, we kind of ask ourselves, well, what might need to change in order for us to grow in fresh ways? Growth is a sign of life. There are other signs of life. Order, that we call ourselves, have an order, sensitivity to the environment around us, reproduction, everything that's living has a way of reproducing itself. Dead things don't reproduce. Activity, metabolism, and balance, homeostasis. I sound posh, don't I? And adaption, that's evolution and all that. So those are the signs of life, but growth is one of those very visible signs of life. I wonder whether we would be a growing church. Jesus used two images of growth in this story that we heard today. One is about plants, natural growth, organic growth, and the second is buildings, which is a different kind of growth. It's something who's building something, and it's growing because someone's putting some work into something. But the assumption behind both of those things is that growth is happening. Some people grow to become bitter. That's the way that happens. Jesus is saying that you can tell that, you know, the fruit of someone's words and thoughts comes out of them. They grow into that kind of person. They grow into grumpiness. Who are you thinking of? That's terrible. And others grow into love and generosity and peace. Who are they that you know? Who just like they mature. We all grow into something. The question really is, everybody is building something. The question is, what are we building on? The foundation. What are we building our lives on? You ask that for a nation, or for a family, or for an individual. Well, the question could be, growth is assumed, but the question is, growth into what and in which way? We're going to end up growing in some way. The question is, what kind of church will we become as we grow together? I want to say that God wants us to grow, that he's ordained it that we might grow. He's not against growth. He doesn't hear the word growth and think, nah, not for them. I'll give it to someone else. No, God loves us, and he gives us life, and life equals growth. I would like to suggest that we kind of get comfortable with the idea of growing. Now, growing is not something that is easy. A growing family is great, isn't it? It's great to have a growing family. But the reality of a growing family is that the more you have, the more troubles come your way. So every gift also brings with it challenge. And so growth is not neutral, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing, and God wants us to grow. Be fruitful and multiply was the first thing he commanded them. He actually encouraged the animals to do it first, and then he gave us the task. And we've been doing it ever since. It's because it's a good thing. It's right there, foundational stuff. So I want to suggest three other words alongside growing, that we grow younger, that we grow wider, and we grow deeper. Firstly, the word younger. I want us to grow younger. Viv in the office the other day saying, I told her, I want us to grow younger. She said, oh, great, how can I do that? I want to grow younger too. When I've said the word younger, and I've articulated it to the PCC or to others in the church, and I've said we want to grow younger, there's been a reticence. You know, I know what it's like when I have the room, and I know what it's like when the room leaves, even if they're sitting in front of me. And when I've said that we want to grow younger, the room has left quite a lot of times. There's been an anxiety about that, as if what I mean by that is that I don't like older people, or that I don't value them, or that I don't want them to be involved in the story, or that somehow if we grew younger, that would exclude them. And so what happens is that I say we want to grow younger, and someone says, well, don't forget the older people. I like the idea of growing younger, but can we add in another subsection to that with an additional kind of sub-clause about the older people or people who feel older? Does that resonate with you? Do you have that intuition inside you, or that instinct to want to clarify this and say it's fine to grow younger, but I want us to address that but in us and recognize it and admit it, and it's there, and it's important. But I want us to grow younger, and I think God wants us to grow younger. Is it possible that we could grow younger and also love the oldest member of our church? My mum is 80, and she's got dementia, and which we know is one of those diseases that gradually takes away bits of your life, bit by bit. And my dad has moved from being husband to also having the title carer. And that wasn't, he didn't sign up for that term. It wasn't his, when he put the ring on his finger, I'll be your carer. And yet that is what he's becoming. And it's a beautiful thing to watch the way they love and care for one another, but the way that my dad cares for my mum. But every day, every week, Sue comes round. She's a member of my mum and dad's church. And my mum and dad have given away their lives all the way through to the youngest, to the younger people, to people who are younger than them. They've always been. My dad was an elder at 30. Very mature man at 30, and he's always been mature. But he was giving himself away to those younger than him. But now, some of those who are younger are giving their lives back to them. And there's Sue, who's about my age, and she comes around every week and she gives herself to my mum. And my mum has a great time, and my dad has something else to do and goes and does it. And that's good for my mum, it's also good for my dad. Is it possible that we could be a younger, growing church as well as care for those who are most, who are older and vulnerable yet and getting to that stage of their lives? And I think it is. I think we can still value the oldest member of our church. In fact, I want to value the oldest member of our church and through them see God's kingdom come. I was praying about this, and I was looking out the window of the chapel, and I saw this pine tree. It wasn't quite like this one, but it did, this picture does the job. And I thought about it, and I thought that a pine tree at the end, you know, the fingers at the end of a pine tree, the little beautiful bits at the end, they're beautiful, aren't they? And they're the growing tips, aren't they? And the pine tree, in its majesty, is growing up, but it's also growing out, and it's growing younger all the time. And in fact, the energy and sap is coming from the centre, through the middle, it's going through the old limbs, out to the edges, isn't it? So the youth can't thrive, the young can't thrive, unless the sap comes through the old, as it were. And I wondered if it was a good image for me, because it helped me to pray into what would it be like to be a younger growing church, like a pine tree grows younger at the same time as growing taller and more majestic. Based on the maturity of the old comes the new growth. All of you matter, but we also need to invest downwards beneath us. I wonder what these images mean to you and whether you could imagine yourself being the root through which God would reproduce a new generation of younger people who find themselves in God, and what that would be like for a young family or for a young dad. You see, the life within us has to go somewhere. And this image is really of the energy rising up. But you can see that some of the limbs have fallen off. But right on the top of the tree, the sunlight is bursting through it, and there is life. And that's what the tree exists for. That's what the old tree lives for, so that the young can live in the sunshine. It's self-sacrificial, but it's also beautiful. I think it's how we live. I think it's what we're for, really. I want to say that younger doesn't mean young. It doesn't mean that we all have to look like 20-year-olds. Or behave like 20-year-olds. But it just means younger. So younger than me is anyone who's in their 30s, or you understand what I'm saying. And if you're in your 70s, younger is just a bit younger. Pour yourself into people who are younger. What would it be like if we were a church that grew younger and intentionally embraced that rather than being fearful of that? From the oldest to the youngest, that we wanted to invest in the new generation. The truth is that in all of our lives, we kind of connect with people who are 10 years either side of us. You know, when you're 10, you know, the people you know are in your class, aren't they? And then as you get a bit older, the people you connect with most are the people pretty similar to you. And so we always, this is natural. But the people of God are people who break out of these normal barriers, and they go outside them. So young people reach out to those who are older, and older people reach down to those who are younger. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's not like the kingdom of the world, which just knows the people just like them. So over the next few weeks, I wonder whether you could review your giving and invest money, real money, your money, into the life of the church with one purpose in mind, or a particular purpose in mind, that you might invest in the next generation. And see it as a way of you planting a seed, like the pine cone, planting it to grow new trees. There are 10,552 Anglican churches in the UK, Church of England. I wonder if you know how many of them have over 100 children under the age of 16 in their church on Sunday morning. Would it be 1,000? Would it be 500? 400? 300? 200? 100? The answer is 30. There are 30 churches, and we are one of them, so there is another 29, that have more than 100 kids in their church buildings on Sunday morning. God needs the church to embrace a younger vision of itself, which means us oldies, including myself in it, have to learn to let go and let others live. Jesus taught us, if you want to follow me, you must die so that others can live. And this is our task. We must give ourselves away for the sake of others. 170, 1.61% of Anglican churches have more than 50. Only 710 have more than 25. A third of them have no one under the age of 16. Two-thirds have less than 5. The calling on us as a church in England is to grow younger. And I think we have something to share. I think we have something good here. But I think we have to learn how to do it even better so that we can enable others to learn from us. Would you agree? So brothers and sisters, may we be a growing church and may we grow younger. The second one is wider. May we grow wider. Does anyone know what this picture is? Where this picture is? It's a garden in Kent. In Sissinghurst. Oh, that's it. Yeah, of course. Pub quiz. Oh, yeah. I was going to say Sissinghurst. Yeah. Now, Sissinghurst is a beautiful garden. I don't think you've ever been, but I went when I had a really small garden, and I read this book, and it showed me this picture of a white garden in Sissinghurst, which is really bounded and bordered, and it taught me how to plant a beautiful garden in a really small space, because in Sissinghurst, they didn't plant a whole big garden. They made one little garden, and then they made it another little garden, and then they made another little garden, and made another little garden, and it gradually grew. It became wider. The garden became wider. It grew as they added little gardens onto the edge of their big garden. This is the white garden. It's a stunning little place because everything looks like it connects with each other, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and it's a fantastic image. But there are other gardens in the same garden, and they're different, and they have purples and oranges and bright colours and spiky plants and soft plants and wild plants. And I wonder whether we could get wider, but the trouble is that wider is hard as well, and there's a challenge between what is and what is yet to come. And wider means more people, doesn't it? So, and more people is more irritating people as well as more lovely people. And people who don't know the rules, don't know the songs, don't know their way around, need looking after. People who have needs, people who are broken, people who have addictions, people who need you to pay attention to them rather than the other way around. And of course, we come to church hoping that someone will pay attention to us. And of course, new people means we're going to have to give ourselves away to more people. How are we going to do that? And we're already full. More people is a challenge for us. Wider means more people. It means more new people. And new people means different people. And different people means people unlike us. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because we prefer people like us. And so different people is difficult for us. But wouldn't it be great if we were a church that represented the full breadth of people in our community rather than a more narrow version of that picture? And wouldn't it be great if there were different ages and backgrounds and languages and tongues and ways of thinking? And you know, in your own family, in your own schools, you understand what it is to have ranges of people in the same place, special needs. And all of this thing, to be wider is a challenge for us, but wouldn't it be great if we grew wider? That we weren't known as a type of church, like one garden, but we grew wider and we added to the other gardens. Because wider is more beautiful. It may be harder for us, but it's more beautiful. And that would be a beautiful thing for us. And the last one is deeper. The church, we think the other two are perhaps about us as a church, because you can't grow younger. That's impossible. So individually, you can't do it, although I'm trying. And I don't really want to grow wider individually. That's not. But I do want to grow deeper. I want to grow deeper into Jesus and into his life. And I want to learn what it is to walk every day of my life, this one life that I've got, in a way that's connected. And the rain is going to come, isn't it? It's been a bit of a battery week, isn't it? The wind and the rain has come. And as I've been talking with you in individual ways, as I've begun to learn your stories, I've discovered that actually whilst you look really happy and nice on the outside, inside many of us are carrying really difficult things in our lives. And the challenges, the wind and the rain are definitely coming. And really Jesus is offering us both an invitation and a warning. He's, your house will fall down. And he ends his sermon with the word destruction. It's a nice way to finish off, isn't it? His long talk ends with the word destruction. And he wants people to know that he doesn't want their lives to be destroyed or to come to nothing. And so he offers them this route out of destruction. And he says, if you build your house on me and you put my words into practice, then your house will stand firm. He says, you say, Lord, Lord. But he's not interested in what we say. He's interested in what we do, in what we practice. Growing deeper means orientating our lives around a completely different set of actions, and practices, and beliefs. It comes down to time and practice. If you want to build your life on Jesus, he's not after attendance, he's after attention. He's after us giving up time to be with him. Time is perhaps the most precious thing in our community, would you not agree? People would give you money rather than time. And Jesus wants your time. So it's how you build a deeper life on Jesus. He wants your time. I don't know if you've seen this book by Malcolm Gladwell. It's called Outliers. It's about the stories of all the people who are more successful than you are. Why would you want to buy such a book? It tells you about these wonderful people, sportsmen, business leaders. They're just amazing people. Really what he's doing is he's saying the difference between them and you is not that they're particularly more gifted, although some of them are very gifted, and they're not just more lucky, although some of them have been lucky. He's saying what they are, the difference is the amount of time they've given to things. 10,000 hours, he says, is his key number. If you give 10,000 hours to something, you become much better than the other person. You become significantly more fortunate, significantly more gifted. Somehow, if you give 10,000 hours to something, you become rather good. Victoria Pendleton, do you remember that? She didn't do so well in the Olympics before this. But then at Beijing, in between those two events, those two Olympics, in those 4 years, she practiced and practiced every single day, harder than she'd ever done before. And she gave herself hours of practice. Trained for 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. And the 27-year-old won the race. Well, Rebecca Adlington, do you remember her, a 19-year-old? She burst onto the scene. She won 2 gold medals. But from the age of 12, she'd gone swimming every single day and put in hours and hours of practice. People have estimated 8,840 hours of training since she was 12. Or the Beatles, do you remember them? We need to grow younger, everyone. The Beatles. You think that they were amazing, and they were amazing. You think they just burst on the scene just like that, but they didn't. They weren't very good. They weren't very good, and they went to Germany and played to places where the army sites around in Hamburg. They played 1,200 gigs in Germany. That's more than most bands play in their whole lives nowadays. And then they came back to the UK. Because they'd done that so many times, they actually became good. And then they burst on the scene, and we know them for who they are. Bill Gates, he spent his life living by computers. He always slept in the same room as computers. He's unlike anyone else of us. He was fortunate. He lived in a place where there was a computer, which was made him fortunate and different. But it wasn't really that made him different. What was it? It was the dedication that he gave to being with those things, trying to work it out. Mozart, you know, most of the Mozart that we listen to was written 20 years after the little bits that he did as a kid. He practiced every day. He composed every day all the way through his life. But the really significant work came at the end of his life, 20 years on. It takes about 10,000 hours of chess playing to become a brand master. Now, why would we think that it's any different becoming a disciple of Jesus to learning how to play chess or make beautiful music. Growing deeper means orientating our whole lives around a completely different set of actions, beliefs, and practices. So I've been trying to design a new website for us, and I want us to connect, and so there's a few things about connecting, getting in touch, groups, Thanksgiving, weddings, Centre High, Alpha, and there's participating, and I think baptism, Sundays, life groups, teams, mission communities, impact, double our giving. Giving? Have I mentioned giving?
Yeah.
And then there's growing. You're good, I love you. And then there's growing, and under this I put formation groups, teachings, learning for the whole of life, and under that there's a subsection. And under that is an idea that's in my head, that wouldn't it be great if we were a church where you could learn for the whole of your life? And if there was an area of life you wanted to become more excellent in as a Christian, you could come to an event or a talk or a discussion group where people could help you to share ideas about how to go. So some ideas are emotional health, leadership development, flourishing in your marriage, talking about money, overcoming addictions, parenting, faith. Wouldn't it be good if we helped each other to grow deeper into Christ in those areas? And of course, at the bottom, you see daily prayer. How's your daily prayer going? Not your immediate arrow prayer, but your disciplined time of silence and quiet with God where you pray with Him. If we're going to be people who withstand the storms, we need to become people who dwell deeply. So my vision is of a church that is growing, reaching up into the sky, growing younger, growing wider, and growing deeper. Over the next few weeks, you might want to mull on what that means for you individually, how you might invest in this vision. And of course, that means your time, it means your life, but I also want it to mean your money, because money makes things happen, and with money, things we can do incredible things. And I would love you to, if you're not already investing, to find a way of investing in this story and seeing what we can do together. If you're already investing, thank you, and keep going. And maybe you could review that and ask God, is there any more you'd like to sow into this project, into this vision of life together as a church family? There are different ways of doing that, and we'll tell you about those in the weeks to come. But do you remember this quote, the greatest issue facing the world today that the Lord's heartbreaking needs is whether those of us who by professional culture and identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from Him how to live the life of the kingdom of heavens into every corner of human existence. You say, you call me Lord, Lord. I'm looking for those who will do, give up their time and practice and put my words into action. Amen. Thank you.